I want to ask you a question. Have any of you this week had any trouble? Anybody? Anybody had any trouble? I'm going to give you time to put your hand up. All right, them two or three that don't have their hands up, you need to talk to them. When I was a teenager, my daddy told me one day, I don't remember what we were talking about, and this was after he had become a Christian. He said, well, if you're not running into the devil, you're headed in the wrong direction. So once you think about trouble and think about things that are going on in your life as opportunities for the power of God, the presence of God, because I want you to know when you came to Christ, you picked up an enemy who is against your very soul. And he wants to cause you a problem. Any problem with your children this week? With their temperament? With their behavior? Has your work been all right? Everything perfect there? Any aggravating people to deal with? How about driving on Abercorn? How's that been? Has that tested your mettle? How about crossing Abercorn as a pedestrian? I saw a guy trying to do that. And all the people that were riding me at the same in the car at the time said the same thing. He's crazy. And people going by. We've been talking the last several weeks about the nature of the battle. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you today. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to begin. This is it's been a series of messages on nature of the battle. And our last two messages are going to come out of this sixth chapter of Ephesians. Part A and Part B of this, actually just one message. But we'll just look at the first four verses today out of that beginning in verse 10 in Ephesians 6, where the Apostle Paul speaks about the battle. Hear what he says. And finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, and put on the whole armor, the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Now, you know that first picture, John. Next week, we're going to look at the armor of a believer in Jesus. And that's a reasonable facsimile of the armor of the, as the, in the next several verses, this next paragraph, as Paul gives this picture of how we need to be armed to go out into the world. Now let's pray, and then I'm going to show you a little video. Lord, I ask you today to open our minds and our hearts. May we receive what you have to speak to us today. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We ask you to come. Come right now. And it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly on the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir! I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir! I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir! I'm in the Lord's army.
wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Christian, God is trying to get our attention because we are at war.
But against principalities. Against powers.
Paul tells us, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see law in my members, warring against the law, warring against us. Folks, we are in
against
a constant war.
The darkness of this world.
The only way we're going to find victory in this war is if we put to death the deeds of the flesh. We must get rid of sin in our life. Dearly beloved, the Lord says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from flesh and lust, which war against the soul. We have the ability to grieve and quench the spirit. In essence, let me put it in focus for you. We have the ability to halt the work of God in our life and to humiliate God. God forbid we ever do.
Against the spiritual wickedness in high places.
Thinking he made a liar.
How do we win? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the methods of the devil. Some of us try to do it on our own righteousness, but our righteousness is as filthy rags. We're going into the battle defenseless against a formidable foe who seeks to devour us, who is the father of lies and the deceiver and the accuser. Wherefore, we must take upon ourselves the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all, Christian, we must stand.
Over the last several weeks, we've brought up a number of things. We looked one week at root and fruit, the things that are cyclical, that seem to keep happening in our lives. We asked the question, why does that keep happening? Why does that come to me? Or why is it that I go to that place? My emotions go in that way. We get to thinking about life and about our own lives, the choices we make, but also the choices we have made in the past, and about under whose authority are we living. And I ask you that today. Under whose authority are you living? Under whose power? You know, most Christians in America, and there are many of us that claim in America to be what we would call born again Christians. But when you look at our lives, are our lives any different than the lives of other people around us? I'm not talking about being stupid in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about being dumb in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about being an ignoramus in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm talking about being one of Jesus' family and it just oozing out of our lives with the kindness and the openness and the power of God, to really be able to live the Christ life. Now, one of the things that I'm convinced of, and I'm convinced of today, and it's the whole reason why weeks ago that we launched this series of messages, is this. We don't understand the nature of the battle. In fact, most of us will get up every day and we will not act like we're going to battle. We'll act like that it's not going to be a war out there. And just because on some days we happen to feel good and we have an emotional high doesn't mean a battle isn't raging all around us. That battle began in the garden for humanity when we fell, when sin came in. And there we began a battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil that will continue until Jesus comes. But in the meantime, He has given to us the power to withstand. The power, as you saw that soldier, to at the end of it, when the dust settles, to stand. Now, I want to give you a little background today on this passage. Let's go back and look at Ephesians 6:10 again. I just want to go through this passage with you very quickly so we can understand the nature of things. Now, I know some of you that have known the Lord for a long time, you grew up in a teaching and in a discipleship that probably very seldom mentioned the devil except to, or evil things, except to give a crescendo kind of illustration to get your attention. But as far as understanding the daily battle that we're in, most of us didn't grow up in that kind of discipleship. We're not taught about that. Do you understand me? I've talked with many of you individually about this very subject, and you've shared your testimony about that. Well, I believe today we need to be cognizant of the battle that is going on. We need to be cognizant of the battle that's been going on in Savannah for many, many, many years. Is there a battle going on in Savannah, Georgia? Are little children suffering this morning because of the choices of the big people in their lives? Are there any? You better believe there are. Has there been murder in Savannah? Has there been hatred in Savannah? Has there been racism in Savannah? You better believe it. So there is a battle going on. Verse 10. Finally, he says, be strong, be empowered, literally, is what he says there, in the Lord and in the strength of His might. It's not I've got a testimony that's coming out of my mouth of the Lord, but I'm dependent on my strength over here to empower my testimony. That's the way it is with a lot of us Christians. Have you tried to live like that before? I'm going to give the testimony of God, but I'm going to depend on my own power to do it. How's that working out for you, by the way? Can you do it? Can you keep the commandments of God without His power? Of course you can't. Not only do we have to have Him on our lips, we have to have Him in our hearts, but we have to have Him in our feet and in our minds. We have to be permeated with Him so that a relationship with the Lord is not just a Sunday go-to-meeting relationship, but a relationship that is every day. That is every day. Where we are personally involved with Him. He goes on. Put on, therefore, the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. What is Paul talking about? The schemes of the devil? Does he have schemes against you? Have you felt those schemes before? Anybody? I got my hand. In fact, I got two hands up. Isn't it interesting that on the day that your nerves are on edge, that is the day that the most aggravating person in your life shows up on your doorstep. Anybody there? You know what I'm talking about? I want to ask you, is that coincidence? Is that coincidence? You think about all of those things and the timing. Here's another one. You finally sit down, you're gonna pray together. And what happened? Phone rings, doorbell. I mean, it could be 8:30 at night and some traveling salesman that's trying to make his quota. I'm not dissing any traveling salesman trying to make their quota. But he shows up at your door at that time. Do you see that? We're not living, and by the way, you need to get coincidence out of your vocabulary. Because there are no coincidences. We live under the power and the authority of a sovereign God who orders things in our lives, but who does not supersede. He has given us free choice, and He's given others free choice. And sometimes we are victimized by that free choice, are we not? So, there are schemes that are going on against you and against your family and against your marriage and against your children. Schemes that you can look at in society that take place. Let me ask you this. Anybody here let your children or grandchildren just watch anything on TV they want? Well, why not? Because I guarantee you, there are some people who are creating things for TV that want to get the minds and the hearts of our children. Do they not? Hey. It happens. And it's happening over and over again. That's just one example. Okay, we move on. He says, we struggle not against flesh and blood. Now, I have quoted this verse every single week of this series. We struggle not against flesh and blood, but, and then he gives the list. If you think that today that there is not a spiritual nature of the things that come against you that's happening in your life, you need to wake up and smell the coffee and know that something is going on around you. And God wants to speak to you in the middle of that. He wants to direct you in the spiritual world because it's a spiritual world and you need spiritual resources in order to live in this world and to survive. It's interesting, that down Haiti, We're doing some sharing the gospel with some people and doing some counseling in a little room. Another fellow and I, Stanley, Dr. Williams and I, we're there together. And here we are in this little room, and we have this group of people that comes in. And man, things start clicking, and we've got about six of them there. I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be great. And right in the middle of it, this guy, as soon as we start talking about Jesus and the power of the gospel and the risen Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, he starts standing up. And not in praise of Jesus, I want you to know, but against him. And I thought, well, I wish I could have had that on video to show you this morning. A picture of that battle that is going on. In our nation, many times it's much more subtle. But let me tell you, The devil's becoming pretty brazen. The world system's becoming pretty brazen right now about the things that are coming against us, against our families and against our children. So our struggle isn't a flesh and blood struggle. Now, most Americans believe that if I just have a little bit more money, my life will be hunky-dory. Is that right? Do a study. I know 99 of you just said, I'd like to try that. I'd like to try it. Just try me out. Try me out, Pastor. Well, what is the story of the people who got more money all the time? When you look at the lottery, folks, those that win the lottery, have you followed that? And what happens to them? I forget the statistic. But it's like most of the folks that win the lottery, within a very short amount of time, it's all gone. You know what didn't happen to them in the process? Their money changed, but their thinking and their heart never changed. And you know what happens? How quickly can the world separate you from your money? Just like that. So, do you see the spiritual nature of things? Struggle not against flesh and blood, but, and then he mentions four different areas. He says, against, you can put that passage back up there, John. But against rulers. Against rulers. What's he talking about? The word there is the word arche. And it's the first part, you've heard it, it's what, like arch. Like an archangel means a big guy. Do you believe that the devil is influencing governments around the world today? Can you see it? I mean, now, we'll start in our history, in the history of our country. Can you see places in history where the devil has influenced our history? And our government, you better believe it. I mean, from the beginning, you can see plenty of examples, okay? So I started with us, okay? I started at home. I didn't go out there first. But let me go on out there now, okay? Think of a guy like Ahmadinejad Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in Iran, who over and over and over again has said, I want you dead. I don't have to do any interpretation. I don't have to do much looking around. He wants you dead. Why does he want you dead? Well, you know, what make up a reason, you know? Well, because you're either a Christian or a Jew. How about Kim Jong-il in North Korea? He wants you dead? Are there other people? You know, go down the line and go around and you can see, and there's enough blame to go around, isn't there? Because we live in a fallen world. That we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm still trying to figure out, in my mind, why Kim Jong-il, they're in North Korea. What he really has to do with Israel. I just cannot make the connection, but he's against them. Hugo Chavez. Go through, just read through the news, both here at home and abroad. Read history. Hey, about the guys in our history that once thought it was a good idea to have slavery institutionalized? Where did that come from? It's hot from hell. Do you see? So, as we look at this first of four that he makes, he's given a description of things that are not flesh and blood, strongholds of the devil, and at this point, different kinds of demonic forces. And in the first one, and I realize some of you have had other teaching about this, and listen, there are different interpretations of these four things that we're going to look at, but I believe that at the end of it, we'll all come back in agreement, however you parse it out. But the first one, he uses this word, arche, rulers, that there's an influence over rulers. Secondly, and against the powers. The powers. By the way, but before we leave the rulers, we don't have time to look at this right now, but you can go back in Daniel chapter 10. And Daniel was praying there. And do you remember what the angel said that came to him? He said, I've been delayed for 3 weeks, for 21 days. He said, in fact, I had to call in the archangel, the archangel, the ruler angel. And who was that? Michael. Michael. So I could get through at this time. It took me 21 days. So I want to verify to you here, I'm not just making this stuff up and drawing it out and said, oh, yeah, this has got to be. Here is an example, historically, from the Old and New Testament of this position, this place of authority that demonic forces have. And here's the demonic force, and then God comes in with the archangel, Michael, and he gets through. All right, then he goes on the powers. The powers. What is he talking about here? The word is exousia. It means authority that has been given in an area of control. Now, an example of this, I believe, in our world today would be like, I believe, the drug cartels would fit into this play. Why is it that drug cartels work in our world? It's because people have given them the authority. It is a conferred authority. It is outside of our law, but yet people, because they have been paid off, and governments have been paid off, they have that authority and they are operating in that authority, and great evil is being done. Are you following me so far? That's an example of powers. Drug rings can be like that in a city, right here in Savannah. Not long ago, our local police was breaking up a drug ring. And one of the problems that they have was people would not rat on the drug dealers because they didn't want retribution against them or their families. Do you see? Those drug dealers had been given power, given authority. Can you think of places in your life where you give the devil authority? Well, see, he can't land any place in our lives unless we give him that place. We give him our mind. Let me give you a personal example of this. And I can speak to every man in here. One of the places where men, in particular, give the devil a wide landing strip in their lives is through pornography. Is that an area where you give an outside entity authority in your life? It sure is. Many families have been wrecked by that. Okay, he goes on, the next one. Not only against the rulers, against the powers, but against the world forces of this darkness. The world forces of this darkness. Now this is a little less clear. We can look back historically and we can see that at one time Israel participated in this. They went about worshiping Molech. Anybody, does that strike a note with anybody? And what did Molech desire from those who served him as a god? The sacrificial, to sacrifice children. Well, all Molech was a demon. They were worshiping a demon. The Philistines. Who did the Philistines worship? Do you remember their god? Starts with a D. Dagon. Dagon. Do you remember where Samson was when he was blinded and they had him, you know, treading the grain so they can make fun of him? Where was he at his death when that took place? He was in the temple of Dagon. Dagon's nothing more than one of these world forces of this darkness. Now, fourth is a little more general. He says here, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Literally, it is the spirituals of the evilness in the heavenlies. The spiritual entities. And my interpretation of this, by the way, you're welcome to hear from the Lord on that for your interpretation. But Satan is called, another name for him is the prince of the power of the air. And I believe he's making a general statement here that all of these demonic forces, who are fallen angels, by the way, have authority, and they're moving about in the earth. There is demonic authority. Now, that's pretty discouraging news, isn't it? Dusty, look at all these things lined up against us. What have we got? How are we going to do it? We're lined up against the world system. We're lined up against our own flesh, and we're lined up against all these demonic forces that are happening. And the only reason why, and I've never, that this is the first time since we planted this church in 1993 that I've actually gone through each one of those and taught on those. This is the first time. But I felt moved by God that we need to wake up and see what is out there. Now, before we go on with that, I want you to see that he refers to these forces in other scriptural passages. Turn back in Ephesians 1:21. What does he say here? Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age but in the one to come. All rule and authority, same words. Go to chapter 3, verse 10. So that the manifold wisdom of God may now be known through the church to the rulers, the authorities in the heavenly places. Again, he mentions that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You'll remember this. Verse 24. And then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to God and to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and authority and power. What's happening right now is he's allowing the evil one to roam through the earth. But if he's allowed the evil one to roam through the earth and all of his demonic forces, what is he given to us? Go back to Ephesians 6. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. What is that full armor? We're going to look at it in detail next week. He has given to us Himself. When you receive Jesus into your life, the very Spirit of God came to take up residence in you. You're not just proclaiming, "I have God." You actually have God. He's living in you. You are His tabernacle. He's living in you. And you have His power. So you must walk in His power. You have His Word. You have His body who is here with you. And for the life of me, in these days, I cannot understand why any Christian would separate themselves from the body of Christ. I cannot understand that and do a Lone Ranger thing out here. Or think that, well, it's okay, that I'll just gather with the body when I need to. How often do you need to gather with the body? I get accustomed to eating every day. And I want people with me to be connected with the body. Note what else he says. Take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. That you will be able. The word there is that you will be empowered. You have the dunamis, the power of God to live. The power to get through. The power to tell the devil. Now hang in here with me. Tell him to go to hell. That's right, Joel. It was designed for him. The power to say, "Get away from my family." The power to see the stuff that's going on around and not participate. The power to see the positive things in life and to live the life full of Christ with a great joy and a great love. It is not time for us to shrink back from the world. It is time for us to charge into battle armed with the love of Jesus, who loves people, who can see through, and He can see their possibilities and see who He made them to be. That I created you to be this person. You don't have to be this person that the devil said, that the world says you are. I've got better for you. I've got power for you to live. I've got a great joy in your life. Boy, that's one of the things that I'm praying for the church in America. Most of the joy that I see in the church in America is a trumped up kind of fakey, hokey dokey kind of joy. I'm praying for the power of God, for the real joy of God to come upon His church, to live in joy in the midst of difficult circumstances. It's my desire that as the world looks at us as a body, that they wouldn't know if there's bad circumstances going on in our lives or good circumstances going on in our lives. They would see the joy of Christ, because no matter if it's bad or good, what they would know is we belong to Jesus. We belong to Him. We live in Him. And there's power in that kind of life. How about it? How about it? You ready to charge hell with a water pistol? No, I'm not talking about us charging on, you know, the Capitol steps or at City Hall or anything. And, you know, God may lead us to do things like that. I'm talking about charging into our world right where we live with the people that we influence every day, with the power of the gospel, and realizing that a battle is going on, but we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how far the score is out of line, you know what He says in the end? We win.
Amen.
We win. He says, in another place in the New Testament, He says, I give you the victory. What would you do today if you knew, as you charged out into the world, your world, that you couldn't lose? How would that change you? Instead of shrinking back in fear, instead of letting that old junk that we've let run our lives, the old past, you know, the devil brings your past out to you and says, oh, you can't do that because look at what you did, look at what you did, look at what you did. And of course, I tell you that standard answer, you know, when he reminds you of your past, what are you supposed to do? Remind him of his future. Say, but through the blood of Jesus, He has covered all of that. And I'm brand new in Him. And I'm going to live like it. I'm going to act like it. I'm going to love my brothers and sisters like it. I'm going to walk into Savannah, Georgia. You know, we got enough people right here at the places that we could just do it at Walmarts. Just all the Walmarts that we go to in a week. We could touch lives right there. We could take over Walmart. And you can take over Savannah that way with the power of God. What about it? What about it? Let's pray. Lord, today I want to thank You for Your presence here. Lord, I'm asking You that Your Word, the words that we read, that we quoted today, will be plain and clear, and You'll remind us as we go from this place. Now, Lord, as we open the altar right now, Lord, we're asking You to come and move, to come with Your power. Lord, I'm asking You to prick people in this congregation today, in this body. They'll say, Lord, I want to start living in power and not powerless. I'm asking You, Lord, to do that today. You changed the world with just a handful of grumpy old fishermen and tax collectors and no telling what all else. You can do it. Come now, Lord. Come. The altar's open.